From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in this wonderful day the good Lord has made. And let's thank everyone who has contributed to our program as we begin our 23rd year, starting with our producer, Gabe Sorensen, all of our great underwriters, all the literally thousands of guests who have taken the time to be on this program, and of course you, the listeners, who have made it all possible. We can't thank you enough. It's a wonderful, wonderful labor of love, if you will, and we certainly appreciate all you taking the time to join us for the Bishop's Hour. And we're pleased to welcome in Chris Simpson from the Valley of the Sacred Heart Academy in the beautiful Solano County town of Dixon. Chris, good day to you.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you, Chris?
Good. Thank you for having us on and me on. Appreciate
yes.
it.
Yes. Dixon, one of my favorite places in the world.
So close to Davis.
So close to Davis, which is another one of my favorite places in the world. But when I was a kid, Dixon and Davis were in the same league. And so we knew Dixon well.
And how was the outcome most times?
They usually beat us in just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just the way it was. The Rams.
Well, I guess,
yeah, how do you compete against the Rams, you know?
True. Right.
Yeah, but it's Dixon has changed like every other town, but you have a wonderful St. Peter's Parish there, and
we're
a lot
blessed.
Of great people. You've got that great farm mix with people who now have moved in from other places, and the town has grown. But you still have that you know, you still got a tractor store on the main street. You know, it's just wonderful.
Right. Oldest fair in the state. Yeah, it is a nice mix. I mean, there's been a lot of building, so we're getting an influx of kind of younger families and families moving up from the Bay Area.
Sure.
Even out of state, believe it or not. But yeah, so it's good in a lot of ways. I mean, it still feels like a small town to me. You know,
We
know most people. And yeah, I always tell my children, careful what you do, because everybody knows your grandma in town.
And, yeah, that's exactly. When I grew up in Davis, it was 3,000 people, and you're right. It was good because if you didn't get home by dinner time, somebody would send you home or know that you shouldn't be out on the street. But by the other token, everybody knew who you were and who your grandma was. That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very fortunate, St. Peter's and just in Dixon in general.
Well, I still remember it was a few years ago, the Walk for Life in San Francisco in late January, and St. Peter's took like 6 buses, and it was just mind-boggling. I mean, kudos to everybody who goes, you know, but it was just, for a small town, it was just such an outpouring of support.
Yeah, it was very beautiful, right? Yeah. I believe, yeah, someone took a picture of all the buses lined up in front of St. Peter's, and yeah, it was a beautiful day. And I mean, it always is every year, right? To celebrate life and good thing to walk for. And but yeah, I can't say we took 6, you know, after several other years. So we're hoping this year we might, you know, send one. With COVID, everything's changed, of course. But
yeah, you know, you just don't. You
hopefully,
don't
it'll still be a great turnout down in San Francisco for good cause.
Well, tell us about We get new listeners every day, and I know that from emails and people on the street say, oh, I didn't know about that, or I just was listening. So tell people about the Valley of the Sacred Heart Academy.
Yeah. So
it's really a great story. I mean, it really is. You should write a book.
Yeah, it is a good little story. So Valley of the Sacred Heart Academy opened up, several years ago, I want to say 8 years ago. It started as a co-op, very tiny, and then we went to the bishop and said, look, we'd really like to start a full-time program. So we started the full-time program with Chesterton Academy and our Montessori program, and that was 3 years ago. So this is our fourth year, so we run Chesterton Academy at Valley Sacred Heart, which is our high school component, and we're going to be one of 50 across the nation. I believe there's now one in Afghanistan. There's India, Australia's looking hoping to open one in Europe. So they're just remarkably just popping up everywhere. And we're going to have a few in the greater Sacramento area, so we're excited about that.
So what,
we're a little bit...
Go ahead.
We're just a little bit different because we want to serve the child from when they're TK all the way up through high school. Mm-hmm. So we're a little bit different in the sense that we run the full spectrum of the program. So we started from nothing, and here we are, thanks be to God. You know, we're in our fourth year as a full-time program, and we keep growing every year. And so it's a good, hopefully we're doing God's work.
Yes, indeed. So what was necessary to get the, you know, the blessings, the stamp of approval, if you will, from the bishop's office, from Bishop Soto? I mean, I'm sure he was thrilled that somebody's starting a school, but, you know, there's still, you know, protocols, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the first year we went to him starting out the co-op, and he said, okay, I'll, you know, give you a blessing for a year, and we'll see how it goes, and then we returned a few, and that went well, and we continued to double our numbers, and then when we came back to full-time, we said, look, there's really, you know, we want to start this full-time school, and so we worked with the bishop and kind of worked with Lincoln at the time, mm-hmm. who was superintendent.
Right.
It was a real great blessing for us and advocate for the school. And so we just worked, and it ended up being that, you know, they put it back to us, said, do you want to be diocesan or independent? So we chose to be an independent school. So we're considered an independent Catholic school within the Diocese of Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we work, you know, Katie is now the superintendent, so I try to attend meetings what I can, and she's, I think, going to do a great job. Following in Lincoln's footsteps.
And Katie, of course, is from Solano County.
Right, right. So she's got roots in Solano County.
Yep.
And the bishop, we meet with them. We just met with them about 6 weeks ago. And so we try to meet with them on a yearly basis to keep him apprised of how it's going. And our doors are always open. And, you know, people are watching and seeing just because it's a new model within the diocese that's being run. And people are interested, of course, in the Chesterton Academy model, the small school model, and affordable and classical. So the bishop sees it's good, and he likes the fact that there's initiatives within the diocese to give, you know, people options. And, you know, it's a crazy time right now, but people are looking for options. And so, yeah, the bishop's been very good and I think pleased with our work, and we're just real thankful for him as well.
So how did you get involved with the Chesterton, with, you know, Dale Alquist and the Chesterton group?
Well, I sort of had this vision or idea of, you know, starting the school, and then we started it, and but I couldn't, I mean, I knew Montessori because I love the Montessori methodology, but I couldn't quite put my hand on what we would do for high school, and then someone texted me and said, you know, Chris, Dale Alquist is coming down from Sacramento to San Francisco. You got to catch him.
You know, right there on I-80.
Yeah, right off I-80. So sure enough, he came over, and we were talking, and we showed him, you know, the atrium and Good Shepherd and what we were doing and sort of ideas and dreams. And then he started to tell us about Chesterton Academy, and it clicked. It was within a few minutes. I said, that's it. That's the key. That's what we need to do for our high school students. And so from there, we just began praying and discerning and trying to put things in place to start the high school. So we started with, I think it was 7 little children in kindergarten from Montessori, and we started with 8 Chesterton High School kids.
And that would be ninth grade?
Ninth grade. They were mm-hmm. 9th to 10th. So I could mm-hmm. explain it to people as bookends. So we started with bookends, and then we're filling in the middle. And this year we're now at the 5th, and we started junior high this year. And got 9 kids in junior high, and it's going well. We're actually running out of space at St. Peter's, so we own the lot next to St. Peter's, and mm-hmm. we're hoping, my thing now is just we need to build it because we got people calling us and looking to come, and we're running out of space. So
build it and they will come.
Exactly, right.
Yeah. So how far away do people come?
They're coming, you know, we do have some West Sacramento families, Fairfield, Vacaville, Woodland.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some few calls from Rio Vista, no families yet. Bay Area, more for the co-op. So, I'd say the greater area, you know, Davis, of course, Dixon, obviously. So, you know, I'd say within a 30-mile, 40-mile radius, you know, they'll come. It's hard. I mean, I don't like to see kids commuting. You know, it's hard on families, but that will be the nice thing about Chesterton being up in the Sacramento area is if strategically located, you know, they'll have the option, you know, of going to school up there, which, you know, we're trying to create a strong kind of Northern California network where we can work together. So, yeah, so it's a nice, you know, they're coming from a radius of, let's say, about 30, 35 miles.
And in starting a school, do you have to deal with the city of Dixon, Solano County, you know, just various things? Do you have to deal with that at all?
You know, I with COVID, we definitely stayed apprised, or we're staying apprised of what's happening in Solano County, but usually not. We get our direction from the diocese, but again, we're independent, so we do make these autonomous decisions, which is nice as far as curriculum and different things, calendar. But we are considered a private school within the state of California, so we register both the K-3 program and the high school. And so we're like any other private school in the state of California. We just happen to be independent Catholic school, so we're under the umbrella of the diocese, but Solano County is not. Doesn't really impact us too much. The district, as far as.
So, you're having Chesterton Academy graduates this year.
We had a class graduate last year, so our first year we started with 9th, 10th graders, and so last year we graduated a group of 9 students. It was our first graduation. It was wonderful. Sorry to see them leave, and so this year we actually are back into. We have 9th, 10th, 11th grade. And then next year, we'll have the full breath for the entire time. So we'll have 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th for next year. And so we don't have any seniors this year.
Okay.
And kind of a different schedule because we started. I mean, traditionally, I think most Chestertons, they usually start with the freshman class of 9th graders. But some start with 10th graders, can happen. And so, yeah, this year we have a nice group of kids, small, but a good group.
Do you have enough size to do, you know, extracurriculars?
We do. We have, this year we have a volleyball team. We're just doing a co-ed team. We're going to have cross country in the winter. And then we'll have a golf team in the spring.
Oh, very good.
So, yeah, it's enough. And then our junior high, you know, some of our 8th graders, you know, we give them an option to do cross country if they choose. So, it's, and then we have a quiz bowl, club and a pro-life club, and so a few clubs that, I mean, I feel like the atmosphere is growing and just making it more fruitful for the kids and enjoyable, and I hired new headmaster, Dominic DiCarlo, and
he's
really brought on some wonderful ideas.
I think we interviewed Dominic a month or two ago.
Yes, yeah, so he came from a very big Jesuit school in Florida, so he knows what a big, good Catholic school looks and feels like, so he's bringing some real great ideas. And I'm grateful for the help.
Wow. So what's other than money, what keeps you from building?
Not so much anything besides money. I mean, I have to say, I'm going to put it out there because I asked a few people, should I say it or should I not say it? So there's been this wonderful, fortunately, someone passed away. Fortunately, this dear soul left $2.7 million to the diocese to be used specifically for the purpose of building a high school in Solano County.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. So that is really the bishop and, you know, Lincoln at the time was saying, well, that's really you. It's the only building happening in Solano County. And the caveat to that is that it has to be used within a time frame. If you don't use it, you lose it, and it goes to the San Francisco Greater Bay Area. So that really, you know, puts us in a position where, you know, we're working with the bishop and finance department to see, you know, can we access that? Is that appropriate? Use of the funds for this donor? And then we have to come up with the other half.
Right.
So it's, yeah. So to me, it's like the most sort of really hands-on thing that we've really seen. Okay, maybe the Lord. Really, it's time to build. And so we're now going out to other donors and saying we've got half of the money, and we're ready to move forward. So we're doing the final drafts of the plans and then working closely with the city to get, we want, just want to have everything ready. So when the Lord gives us the money, we go fast.
Oh, very good.
Build it. That's my theme, build it.
That's right there. Well, other than there is St. Patrick, St. Vincent, and Vallejo, of course, but
right.
I'm trying to think, is that the only Catholic high school? I guess it is.
Yeah, and I know the diocese owns some land in Brackville, but I don't think that ever came up, plausibility for them.
We certainly have elementary schools, but not.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're praying a lot and talking to donors, and are there any big donors out there? You know, it's an education center, and so it'd be used for Chesterton School, and now that we had other schools, you know, it'd be wonderful to use it sort of our hub as our network.
Yeah.
Because there's a few Chestertons in the Bay Area opening up now, too.
Wow.
Amazing. Yeah.
So what's the site in Sacramento, do you know? Or do they have a site yet?
I don't know if it's officially said, so I'm not going to speak on that. But, you know, they're kind of strategic. I think one's up at Yuma City, you know, Sacramento, and then one higher up near Grass Valley area. So, and then down the Bay Area. I can't remember where those sites are, but, yeah, pretty soon if you look on the network website, you'll see those schools will be labeled and they're opening hopefully fall of 2022.
Wow.
Yeah.
And speaking of Chesterton Academy, Dale Alquist himself, I think he's actually Chesterton.
Sure seems like me too.
I'm looking at a flyer and with his photo on it, and I'm thinking that's just what Chesterton probably looked like. You know what I mean? It's just that. That's kind of wry smile, something hidden behind those glasses, you know, like the mind going 1,000 minutes times a minute. You know, it's just he's such a we've had him on the program a number of times, and he's just such a I think even before he was involved with you folks, I think he was coming out here to give a performance or something, you know. And just such a delightful guy.
Right. Yeah, he's funny, intelligent. I mean, he's got just everything. And he's going to be, I'm here to promote our gala event. And, you know, when you hear him speak, we've had him out a couple times to speak. And he's just, people love him, and he's fun. Even if you don't know who G.K. Chesterton is, and even if you don't know anything about education, most of the crowd just really enjoys the evening because of Dale. So
well,
he hits
great.
It out of the park, for sure.
So that's the 2021 gala. Coming up Saturday, October the 23rd, 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. It's not a nighttime event. It's a late afternoon, early evening at Araceli Farm on Pitt School Road. I know Pitt School Road well. That's my shortcut to Vacaville where my sister lives.
Yes, and we decided we were going to do it indoor, and we decided with COVID and everything happening, it would just be more prudent to move it outside, so it'll be different. We've never held the event outside before, but it's a wine tasting event, and it's a lavender farm. It's very beautiful, so they hold weddings there and different festivals there. So
every time we go by there, it's like the kids say, "Is that lavender?" It is. So it looks like a whole bunch of hedgehogs all lined up in a row.
That's good. I've never heard that, but you're right. Yeah, it's not blooming right now, I don't think, but it's still just a lovely venue. And so there'll be, hors d'oeuvres, and the Chesterton Choir. Our students are going to be singing, and Dale, and we'll have a live and silent auction. And, I mean, the event is always wonderful, and so we're hoping to sell a lot of tickets and have people out and support the school and come see Dale. Yep.
And how can people get tickets?
So there's a few ways that they can go to our website, which is valleyofthesacredheart.com, and there they'll see at the top a link for the gala tickets, or you can go valleyofthesacredheart.com/gala, take you right to it. So they can buy tickets online this year or Dixon Forest, and also they can call 530-574-0804 and also reserve tickets via phone as well.
Dixon Forest is located about 5 feet from St. Peter's front door.
It is, and they're a wonderful local family that's run that florist shop since
forever.
1950, I want to say. Yeah.
It's every time I go by it, I say, they've been here since this was a really small town.
Right. Yeah, they're wonderful. They're good supporters of the school. So we're great.
Well, oh, that's great.
Should be a wonderful, you know, it's a, like you said, it's a late afternoon event into the evening, and we're excited and hope people come out and support the school and they can learn a little bit more. We're getting a lot of calls for people interested in the program, so it might be a nice way to people to hear who we are and see the students in action.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So valleyofthesacredheart.com, and again, it is Saturday the 23rd, a week from this Saturday, 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. It's Araceli Farm, which is 7389 Pitt School Road, and it's just south. It's just south of Dixon. You're heading south. You're heading towards Rio Vista, sort of.
Right.
Yeah, except Pitt School Road will dead end at Hawkins.
Yes, there you go. You know your territory.
Yes.
Very good job.
Yes.
Local.
It tees at Hawkins, I guess. It just you got to either go right or left. You can't go straight. Unless you want to be in a cornfield or something.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Now they're orchards.
Now they're orchards. And
yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, the whole area used to be tomatoes, sugar beets, and now there's not a sugar beet in sight because there's no plants anymore, and everything's orchards. It's walnuts.
Yeah.
It's almonds. It's pistachios. It's all nut orchards. It's
except
amazing.
For the lavender.
Except for the lavender. That's right.
And that's where we'll be.
And that's where you'll be. That's great. Yep. That's great. It's hard for the kids to hide in lavender. It's not tall
yes,
enough.
It is.
Yeah.
No. True.
Well, Chris, such a joy to talk with you. And we just hope this is going to be a great, great event. And we're endeavoring to get Dale on the program, too, before the event.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Bob, for having us and me. Appreciate it.
Well, blessings to your family and to your great school, and we'll look forward to talking again soon.
All right, take care.
Thanks,
thank you,
Chris. Mom. That's Chris Simpson, who is one of the founders of the Valley of the Sacred Heart Academy. And you know, many times I have this discussion with my own kids that people say, "Well, you know, it's a big world, and what can one person do to make a difference?" And you look at what Chris Simpson and a few people in Dixon have done. They now have a TK through high school that they started on their own, Catholic, you know, and an independent Catholic school, but under the auspices of the Diocese of Sacramento, and look what they have started. And if you can make it down there, it is a beautiful venue, and it's out in the farms of just south of Dixon. And it's for a great cause. And if you have not heard Dale Alquist speak, he's very funny. He's very interesting. He's very funny, and just a lot of fun. So it will be a great evening. A wine tasting, hors d'oeuvres, and the Chesterton Choir will be singing as well. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hello, this is Moises De Leon from the Office of Family and Respect Life. You're listening to Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunham.
Thank you, Moises, and thanks for all the great work you do with our Family and Respect Life ministry here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, we're pleased to welcome in our good friend Mike Allison, who has big news about the Men's Day of Faith Renewal coming up right around the corner. Mike, how are you doing?
Hey, Bob, I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Good to hear your voice again.
Thanks. Thanks. Yeah, we are in the final stretch here, and pretty excited about this weekend coming up. In fact, I'm over at Staples. I'm sitting in my car right now because I was getting all the stuff ready for the folders to put together for Saturday.
Oh, very good.
Wrapping
very
up
good.
All the details. Excited. So, yeah.
Well, you're a man with a mission.
Yeah. You know what? You know what? I'm in sales. God's in management. So I'll do my part, and I know he always does his. So.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, for those who don't know and haven't heard, and tell us about the Men's Day of Faith Renewal. We were fortunate enough to have Father Matthew Spencer on a couple of weeks ago.
And yeah.
I don't know if brilliant is the right word, but brilliant in a shining star kind of way.
Oh, yeah. He is very special. I listened to that interview, and I was so happy to hear him and his enthusiasm and his holiness, you know, and reverence and a knowledge of St. Joseph. I mean, it couldn't be a better time for us to have him here and for the men. So yes, if people haven't heard, we have our eighth annual event at St. Mel's in Fair Oaks, which will take place this Saturday at on October 16th. It's our eighth annual Men's Day of Faith Renewal, and our theme for the day is Lessons in Courage. I'm sorry, Living with Courage, Lessons for Men from St. Joseph. And as you alluded to, our guest speaker is Father Matthew Spencer. And we have Father, actually for 2 days, because Friday, the night before, on the 15th, Father comes to our parish, and at 7 o'clock in the evening, he gives a talk to the entire parish and all the families, all the friends, anybody that wants to come. And Father gives a talk to the families about St. Joseph and how he's relevant to our families. And we'll probably have a little time for some Q&A. And then, as our tradition has it, we go over to our parish center and we have Leatherby's ice cream and a lot of it. So.
Well, you know, it's such a great tradition because, it's billed as the Men's Day of Faith Renewal, and that's Saturday. But you've got this whole wonderful event going on Friday night.
Yeah, in fact, this year we started calling it the Men's Family Day of Faith Renewal, because mm-hmm. it's Men's Day of Faith Renewal on Saturday. Now we call it Family Night of Faith Renewal. And so, you know, the speakers have always been real generous with their time, and they're in town. And so, you know, we don't want to just exclude anyone who could benefit from the message. But Saturday is just for the men. We probably think need most help. So we're starting to sell our tickets and get the slots all filled, but there's always room for more. I bet you we get 30% of our attendees the last week. It's something. We always think, oh man, you know, we order the food for our big Hannibal's catered lunch. It's going to be an Oktoberfest this year. We're going to do beer braised brats and German potato salad and the whole spread. So we have to place the order, of course, for how many people. So we're thinking we're probably going to have maybe 120, 130 people, but we've got room for more. And if anybody, it's $40 for the day, Bob, but we have so many generous sponsors that it's just after Mass, you know, we promote and they say, hey, here's $40 for somebody who can't.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. And so if somebody wants to come, or they have a friend or they know somebody and they think, oh, you know, they're not sure to ask or not, just ask them. And then, you know, we cover people who can't afford that cost. We're not about the money. We're about, you know, helping people to, you know, to get closer to Christ and closer to the Lord and experience our faith with other men and be encouraged. The world's so discouraging. We need that encouragement, and we need to be together, you know, so it's a great day.
Well, and the, you know, the theme, the living with courage,
yeah.
Lessons for men, it sounds redundant, but Father Matthew Spencer is somebody who can give you the courage to live with
right.
courage. You know, it's so, it's sometimes
right.
hard to live with courage. You know, you're
right.
afraid of what somebody's going to say or somebody's going to think, or even though what you know what's the right thing to do or the right thing to say, but you're just hesitant. I remember when
yeah.
I was a kid, my dad and I you know, it didn't make as much sense to me then as it does now. He says, you know, you watch a baseball game and they talk about they courageously come from behind, or you know what I mean? And he says,
yeah,
that's
right.
not courage. That's just baseball.
Right.
You know,
right, right,
he'd
right.
say courage is when you stand up in a crowded room and speak the truth, even if you know that nobody in that room agrees with you.
Oh, yeah, really. No kidding. We need a lot of that these days.
And we do need that. And we're never going to get this world back to where it belongs if we don't have people standing up and speaking the truth.
Yeah, you know, I can't remember. I'm paraphrasing this quote. I wish I could pull it up, but I'd probably hang up on you.
If this interview was on, I get on it. You know, people will say, "Well, just do this with your cell phone." I go, "No, I'll lose you."
Yeah, there's no way I'm
yeah.
going to do that.
Yeah.
but this person said, you know, that courage is not. It's not that you don't have fear, you know, but it's that knowing that something is more important than
right.
the fear, so you do it anyhow.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. If you're fearless, it's not courageous.
Right.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
And there are people like
stupid.
That. They don't
might
know.
Be stupid. but no, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, the whole theme of courage. And I think that's what to, you know, encourage means, to give courage, right?
Yeah.
That's
right.
Will give
that's
courage,
right.
You know, to encourage someone. So it's very exciting. We're just really, really looking forward to it. So if you haven't heard, I know I'm speaking to a large audience of men, and you're needing a reminder, I hope this is it. And if you're on the fence, I just would like to personally invite you to come to this event and just come and be yourself, because I know that the Lord is doesn't do anything by accident. So if you're there, it's because He knew you would be there. From all eternity, He knew you would be there. And we just ask men to listen to the Holy Spirit, and then take those things home, take them to prayer, and figure out how you can act on those, and know that you're not alone.
Yeah, come for the message and stay for the brats.
Yeah, there you go. I said last weekend at Mass, I said it's $40, I read some testimonials, and one guy was kind of funny, because I read this testimony, and he said, we have, you know, it was wonderful, it met all my, above my expectation. It was great fellowship, it was holy, it was faith, and he went on and on with this list, and then he ended by saying, and good coffee. And I said, okay. I said, well, we must make a good cup of coffee. So I said,
a $40 cup of coffee.
Yeah, spend four or five more than you would at Starbucks and get a whole day for it, you know?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That is great. Well, you hit a home run with Father Matthew. I'm
yeah.
telling you, it's you know where does the good Lord find these people? It's,
oh, I know.
It's amazing.
We're blessed, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before when we spoke, but his brother is a priest. His brother is Father Stephen Spencer,
mm-hmm.
and Stephen Spencer, his brother, will be there as well, joining us for the day, and he'll be one of the three priests that'll make themselves available for confession that day.
Oh, very good. Very
yeah,
good.
So he's happy and excited to have his brother there, too. So,
do you know where his brother is assigned?
He's in Loomis. I think he's at Mount St. Joseph.
He's with the Oblates, too.
Yeah, I have to cross-check that, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I don't, you know, I have to make sure of that.
And Father Matthew's down in Santa Cruz, I believe.
He is.
Yeah.
He is, absolutely, yeah. It was funny. I have We Are Adoration starting back up at St. Mel, and a lady that's there at the same time I'm there on Wednesday mornings, she said that she was in Arizona in Tehachapi, I think she said, and she was talking to a chiropractor there, and the chiropractor says, you know, where are you from? And she says, California. And she says, well, I'm from, he says, I know a person from there, and he says he's a priest. And she says, oh, really? Who? She says, well, he's with the Oblates of St. Joseph. She says, is it Father Matthew Spencer? He says, yeah, that's my brother.
that's so amazing.
Yeah. So, anyhow. But, here's how you get your tickets, if I can say, is Friday night is free. That's Friday the 15th of October at 7 o'clock. Just show up at St. Mel in Fair Oaks at 7 o'clock, and you'll be on board. Saturday, the tickets are $40. You can go online. You can go to St. Mel's website, and you can, you know, scroll through, and you'll find the events part, and then you'll find it there. Or it's smpcevents.org. That's St. Mel's Parish Center, events.org. Or the third option is show up that Saturday morning, and you can sign up at the door.
Very good. And it's on Pennsylvania Avenue, not Pennsylvania Place, which is a monopoly.
That's right, it is.
Yeah. You want to own Pennsylvania Place. You want to just visit Pennsylvania Avenue.
That's right. Yeah, that's funny.
And you've got that beautiful parish hall there.
Oh, yeah.
Or parish center, I think you call it.
The diocese uses that for different functions, too. I know that not this last one, but early on, there was one of the convocations there, the bishop of all the dioceses.
I remember being there for somebody was a retirement party, you know, and a diocesan official, and it was just right. Well, he had worked in cemeteries, and just all these people came out of the word. I mean, this guy was like a rock star. You know?
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
Everybody came, and it's interesting. You've never heard humor until you've heard funeral directors roast another funeral director. I've never been at an event like that, and I thought, these guys are really funny.
My dad told me once that my dad has passed, but my dad told me about some of his first jobs. He says, you know, I had a job, Mike, where he had about 200 people underneath me. I said, what did you do? And he says, well, I cut the grass at the cemetery.
But
the parish center is really the best kept secret. It's just beautiful. We're so blessed to have it, not only for our parish functions, but like you said, for functions for the diocese and for this venue. It's where we've had it every year, and it's wonderful. The acoustics are good. It's comfortable. You know, the seating is new. We have good food, you know, hospitality. And then right outside the back doors is a little patio area, and that's where we host our lunch. So you get to get outside for a little, too. So it's a nice day.
And look both ways before you cross Pennsylvania Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
You need like a tunnel underneath it.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Or you know, a footbridge over it, one or the other.
Well, maybe we'll get those the people that worked on the Davis Frog Tunnel
out there. Yeah. Hey, I know those people.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, I know those people.
There you go. We'll get them building the tunnel out here in Four Oaks for us.
Except, you know, you have to crawl and croak when you go through there.
You know? Well, then now we've come full circle back to the funeral.
That's
don't
right.
We croak.
Yeah. So yeah. But it's that you just got a wonderful parish there. So
oh, thank you. Yeah, Father Aldrin is very special. It's just wonderful. We're really happy to be having adoration coming back too, because that's been the heartbeat of that parish.
Did you have to close it down because of COVID?
Well, we did. It's 30 years. It's been perpetual adoration, so it was hard.
24/7.
Yes.
Oh wow. Yeah.
24/7 for over, I think it's 31 or 32
That's
years
amazing.
Now. Yeah. So we're coming back now and extending into evening hours. We're not quite 24/7 yet, but we're getting there. We're working our way towards that. And in fact, that's one thing that we'll encourage the men to make that available to them for sign-ups and let them know about that. So, yes.
Very good. Very good. Well, Mike, thanks for all you do in putting this together, you and your committee. And
yeah, it's a team.
We just give the way to get ticket one more time.
Yes. So to get a ticket, you can one of three ways. You can go to the St. Mel's Parish website, and you can meander your way through until you get to events, and you'll see, and you can go there. That gets you to the website for the event, which, again, is smpcevents.org. And the third way that you can get a ticket is come to the door Saturday morning, and we'll get you signed up. Again, it's $40, but we don't turn away anybody for financial difficulties.
Very good.
And Friday night is free. Friday night the 15th is free at 7 o'clock.
Very good. Mike, always a pleasure to talk to you. I hope you just have an overflow crowd.
Thanks, Bob. And if you want to stop by for a couple hours, it'd be great to see you.
Very good. Thanks, Mike.
Come at lunch if you do.
Yes, definitely.
All right.
Hey, God bless.
God bless you, too, and thank you for this opportunity. Really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. That's Mike Allison at St. Mel's, and he and his committee just put together such a great, great event. Just wonderful stuff. So
you said the bratwurst thing? I got really, really intrigued.
Yeah, they had brats. They got potato salad. It's like Oktoberfest, which I think is basically German.
It is German. A Bavarian.
My mom was German, like 100%. Like, her folks came over on the boat.
Nice.
My dad was like 100% Irish, which means you're going to like potatoes.
And cabbage.
And cabbage.
Yeah, a lot of cabbage and potatoes. There's a Bavarian place, and it's in Apple Hill. And I always wanted to go there because I like sausage. And we drove there one time, and it looked open, and I was really excited. And we got there, and they were not really open. They were only open for like a couple select items. So like, they had these like pictures of these amazing bratwursts sort of stuff, but it wasn't there. So then the next time we went out there, they were closed for COVID, and it was snowing, and it was like one of those things. It was just kind of sad because I didn't get my sausages.
Yeah, it should be this. I mean, if he's expecting 120 people, if they all eat like I do or you do, they need like about 600 sausages.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, Gabe, we're starting our 23rd year here, and you've been a big part of many of those years.
15, I think.
15.
Yeah. 14 or 15, and yeah.
I thought just in the few minutes we have left, just to walk through a few memories. One of the most difficult interviews, at least ahead of time, you know, where you think, okay, this person's going to be on, how am I going to handle this? That kind of anxiety.
Yeah.
You it's not stage fright, it's like, this is a difficult subject, and this is going to be hard to handle. We had a couple who had attended Rachel's Vineyard retreat the weekend as a couple.
Yeah.
And came on anonymously and bared their souls.
Yeah.
You know, it just bared their souls and said, ask the questions that you think people are out there in the audience are thinking to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tiptoe around anything.
Right.
Don't think anything's off limits, because this is a very intimate, difficult subject.
Yeah.
But that's why we want to be on the air, is to tell other people our story.
Yeah, and even though they were anonymous, it's very courageous to do so, because you're airing. I mean, you're,
absolutely.
And it's one of those things too. When you go to something like that, and you, and I don't know what goes on there other than what they talked about. You don't really, you don't say it publicly typically. You know, it's in the confines of that. Yeah. So to speak it publicly and have others hear you, even if you don't say your name, very courageous.
It's very, very hard. And another one was a man named Bud Welch, whose daughter was one of those who was killed in the Oklahoma City blast.
Mm.
She was an adult daughter, and she was a preschool teacher, and it was a federal building.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like I don't know if it was a basement, the lower level of it, they had a daycare center
yeah.
for the kids of people who worked in the building.
Yeah.
And the blast, of course, of anybody on the first floor was really, and she was killed in that blast. She would go to Mass every day with her dad. Her dad was a filling station owner in Oklahoma City, and he'd come pick her up at lunchtime, and they'd go to Mass every day. And she was killed. And he went on a crusade against the death penalty. And said, and really hadn't had, as I recall, any conviction really one way or the other about the death penalty prior to that. And, of course, Tim McVeigh, the perpetrator, the bomber, was eventually put to death.
Yeah.
But he, prior to that, reached out to Tim McVeigh's dad and became friends with Tim McVeigh's dad. Just, you know, the forgiveness in this man's heart. But interviewing Bud Welch about that day and how he found out and the feelings and the emotions that he had, and then talking about the death penalty and what his wishes for Tim McVeigh and Tim McVeigh's soul and his family, et cetera, was ahead of time very difficult for me. But during the course of it, Bud Welch being who Bud Welch is, he made it very easy.
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah.
And then Bud Welch introduced me to Tim McVeigh's dad, and we interviewed him. It was a much more difficult interview.
I would imagine, yeah.
Much more difficult. But you're left with nothing but compassion for that man. He obviously racked with, what did I do wrong? How did I raise my kid wrong? How could my kid become?
Correct.
I'm sure everybody that has a child that's gone off has that lament, that, and some of them can say, yeah, I wasn't a good mom. I wasn't a good dad. I wasn't a good brother. Or I didn't take the steps I should have taken. I didn't have the courage or the time, or I was too selfish. But I think in most cases, they can come from any kind of family.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just sometimes it's something beyond your control.
Yeah.
But you just had great compassion for him. You know, Those are ones I really remember. And of course, all the times we've been able to interview Bishop Soto, Bishop Wiegand when he was bishop, and even now Bishop Wiegand still comes on the program, and Bishop Quinn, of course.
Bishop Quinn, we were lucky to have him on a lot.
I remember he was in, I don't know if he was in hospice yet, but it was, he had a terminal diagnosis, if you will. And I remember calling him, and we were doing, as you remember, because you were setting it up, we were doing a bishop a day during, and we had Bishop Soto, of course, and we had Bishop Cotta, who was the auxiliary at the time, and we had Bishop Wiegand and Bishop Quinn, each a day for each, not the whole show, but each on their own show, and I remember somebody said, you better get Bishop Quinn very soon, because
that's what they told me,
he's dying.
Yeah.
And I remember calling over there, you know, you're kind of hesitant and you're kind of trepidation, and calling, and he answers the phone, and oh, Bob, how are you doing? You know, just his usual friendly, put you at ease voice. And I said, is there any way we can get you on the air? And he says, yeah, I won't be able to come in, but I'd be happy to do it on the phone. But and I think one of the people caring for him, it maybe called me back or came on the phone or something, and kind of said in a whisper, sort of privately, you know, just don't make it any more than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know.
That was part of what they told me, too, the caveat.
Kind of part of the deal here.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
And no problem. We're just happy to have him on for 30 seconds, you know. He comes on. And I didn't even need to talk. I could have just turned my microphone off.
Right.
And he was on, I think, the full hour.
45 minutes.
Yep. You know.
And it was funny. I know that because they told us 5, maybe 10 minutes at best. So I booked 2 other people after him, and I'm scrambling on the phone for the first one saying, hey, and luckily, you know, it's Bishop Quinn. So you can tell him, hey, Bishop Quinn's on the radio right now, right, and he's not coming off. So I got to bump you. And they're like, oh, okay, fine. And then, you know, 25, 30 minutes later, I'm calling the next guest like, hey, Bishop Quinn's kind of going off, so yeah, I got to let you go. So yeah, but I remember that very, very vividly because I remember making those phone calls, and I still have that interview on the hard drive of the computer. A lot of them get sort of deleted. I pulled that one into a special file so it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the last time he was on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
It was, yeah.
And, you know, and some of the ones that, you know, make you laugh and bring you great joy are when we've had the school kids on.
Oh, yeah. And we're having some more on in November.
Are we?
Yeah. There's a speech competition coming up, I think, this week.
Know, we have, you know, pro-life contest, essay contest, and speech contest, and academic decathlons, and all these different groups or different competitions. some where it's through the Catholic Schools Department. Mm-hmm. Some it's just open to anybody. Some it's where our schools are in with public schools,
yeah,
you know, in the competition. And sometimes we'll have 10 or 12 kids in here at once.
We've had this room packed.
Yeah, with their maybe their teachers, and usually Lori Power brings them in. And
got parents in the hallway.
Parents in the hallway, and they're filming, and they're taking pictures. And
I always feel so bad because they want to sit in my room because I have the window to hear. And I feel always so bad because while a lot of the interviews are going on, I'm on the phone booking other interviews. And so it's
you're
like,
working.
The parents are trying to listen to their kid. And I'm like, yeah, you want to come on next week? And it's like they can't hear anything. So they always end up going back out in the hallway. So I always feel a little guilty about that.
And then the individual, sometimes it's an athlete, Gabe Maya, mm-hmm, the great baseball pitcher for Christian Brothers, who's now down at the University of San Diego, going to play baseball for them at the Division I level. And just hearing who these people are, some of the graduates of Cristo Rey, mm-hmm, and some of the kids from St. Francis, and some of the kids from St. Vincent in Vallejo,
yeah,
and from St. Francis, and on and on and on,
yeah,
you know, Christian Brothers, all of them, all our great Catholic schools. It's frequently it's athletes, but sometimes it's a speech contest winner.
We try to get everybody. Yeah, I know. We've had you know, so-called celebrities on our show too. I mean, we've had, you know, people of note, you know, Corbin Burnson and Emilio Estevez, and what was the quarterback for the he was speaking at a conference. We had Elvis Gerback on once, yeah. I remember that because I worked with Elvis when he was in the Niners, right, and I remember that. But we had, it was somebody else. It was Minnesota. There, it lived in Minnesota.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he was speaking at...
it was a Raider, right?
He played for Notre Dame. And played for the... Oh, gosh.
I know. I can't think of his name either.
It was for the annual Dinner for the Poor.
For the Safe Visit of the Ball. Yeah, he came
and
on.
We had Pat Casey, baseball coach from Oregon State, who won the national championship three times.
Did we have a Gonzaga coach on, too? Or the head, the president of Gonzaga?
Yeah. Father Spitzer.
Father Spitzer, yeah.
A number of times.
Yeah.
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 And, you know, talking to some of the people from the Portland Sentinel, the newspaper up there, mm-hmm, about the devastating fires in Oregon and the things that the Catholic Church was doing to help the people there. Just a lot of, and then, you know, the occasional bishop from around the country.
Yeah, we try.
You know,
we try. They're just as busy as ours, so it's hard to get them on.
and the occasional cardinal. You know, that I remember having Cardinal Avery Dulles, who was not a bishop, but was in the family of John Foster Dulles. He may have, I'm sure, his relation, who was, I think, Secretary of State in the Eisenhower administration, and to talk about his conversion story. He was... I believe Episcopalian, and he said, you know, he was in college and he started reading dangerous things and just came to the conclusion that the Catholic Church was the church that Jesus Christ founded.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to conclude that, but and then just kind of like, well, why am I not in that church?
Right.
And the next thing you know, he's Catholic, and then one day he's a Cardinal Henry Dulles. You know, and he was just a towering intellectual, you know, just a really, really remarkable person. And
it's funny, is I was in Lori Powers' office earlier today talking to her about the speech contest, and I reflected on something since you're talking about it. It reminds me of one of the thing that I'll never forget about working here is my son's 8, my daughter's 5, and my new son is 9 months old. My son and my daughter grew up here because back, you know, I 5 days a week, right. they're in the room with me. And, you know, I remember there's a little side hallway over here where I'd take my kid, have a ball, and kind of like you do with a puppy, but yeah. I'd throw the ball for him and he'd go chase it and come back and he'd run around and we get exercise. And I keep checking in on the interviews because I can hear him from the hallway and then do that. And my daughter, the same thing. And then about a week or so ago on a Saturday, I had to come in here to pick up something and do something. I had my 9 month old with me. So now all three of my kids have been to the Bishop's Hour and have hung out with dad at work.
that's wonderful. I remember when my kids were real little and they were, you know, they're like 4, 3, 2, and 1. And I would always tell them about, and my wife would bring them in sometimes because she helped produce the show years ago with four little ones in that room.
Yeah.
But I'd always tell them about Pancake Circus, which is just across the street from the diocese. And one day it was a weekend, and three of them had been to Pancake Circus, but the 4 year old Molly had not been to Pancake Circus yet, and so we pull up into the diocesan parking lot, and I needed to come in to get something from my desk or something, and it was a weekend. There's nobody in the building, and we get up to the front door, and Molly's eyes light up, and she goes, "It's Pancake Circus." I said, "No, this is the diocese.
Yeah.
They don't serve pancakes in here."
No, we don't.
she'd been hyped all the way over.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
But then we went over to Camp Pancake Circus where everybody calls you sweetie and darling and honey. Yep. And yeah.
That's another funny thing is I remember kind of semi-babysitting your kids during some shows sometimes when you bring your kids in. And then we talk about your kids being in college. I'm like, wait, what kid is that? Like, that can't be the same one. It's like time went so quickly, I forget.
When this show started, October the 6th of 1999, none of them had been born.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember your son, he'd be in here, he'd be sitting next to me, and he didn't really want to talk to me much, so I'd kind of talk to him, and he'd just kind of look at me, and then when you tell him he's like, you know, going to high school, and stuff like that, I'm like, what? Like, there's no way.
None of them have been born, and today, three of them are in college, and one of them's a junior in high school, so just some wonderful memories, and the great memories of all the guests we've had, just today, talking to Mike Allison, and talking to Chris Simpson and just all the people out there that are doing the Lord's work, you know, whether they're clergy, whether they're bishops, whether they're just those of us sitting in the back row at Sunday Mass, you know, just people doing the Lord's work, and it's just it's a real joy. So thank you to all of you who listen It is and continues to be a great joy in my life. And that's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone.
Empty hands held high, such small sacrifice. If not joined with my life, I sing in vain tonight. May the word